All rise.
Welcome to the Cyber Law and Business Report. Get the top story on the hot button internet legal topics of the day. This is your home for the latest on internet law and policy. Hear the latest net trends impacting business and have your questions answered right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report. Now, please welcome your host, the founder of the Internet Law Center, Bennett Kelly.
Good morning. This is Bennett Kelly. Welcome to another edition of Cyber Law and Business Report. Please be seated. We got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about something that's very much in the news today, and that's Uber in crisis. You may have seen the news that they've just fired 20 people in light of an investigation that had been conducted over several months concerning sexual harassment and other violations of policy at Uber. And so we have with us two longtime friends of this show, Dan Tynan, the esteemed journalist and former editor-in-chief of Yahoo Tech, and Brenda Tynan. Brenda Christensen, the founder of Stellar PR, and we are pleased to have you, and she's a longtime tech veteran as well, and a great friend of the show. Both are great friends of the show. Before we start, remember that cheesy 70s song, The Night That Chicago Died? I'm probably just saying that. We'll keep it in your head all day, and you'll hate me. But today's actually the day Seattle died, and it is the day that Chief Seattle, whom Seattle is named after, died. And it is actually a Lutheran feast day. He apparently is a saint among Lutherans. So for those of you celebrating Chief Seattle Day, here's to you and to the great city it's named after. Have a great day. So getting back to, I just couldn't
Happy
resist.
Chief Seattle Day to you too, Bennett.
Exactly. which, hopefully it's a sunny day. Knowing Seattle, it probably isn't. But we have a very breaking news story here in Uber. And it's funny. I'm going back some years. And in 2014, I did a post on Uber when all the various scandals seemed to be hitting at that time involving drivers being arrested for kidnapping, discrimination complaints, the allegations that it did a DNS attack on Lyft, and as well as kind of a number of privacy issues that came up. And at that time, the founder of one of the investors in Lyft, who we now know very well, Peter Thiel, is called Uber the most ethically challenged company in Silicon Valley. And at that time, The Guardian asked the question, is Uber the worst company in Silicon Valley? And so that was back in the peaceful glory days of 2014. And somehow 2017 has just been an unending barrage of negative press for Uber. And so where do we begin to digest this?
And do we have enough time? I don't think an hour is
exactly.
Enough.
Exactly.
Right.
So just for background, background, there are show notes as usual on our blog at cyberlawradio.wordpress. And so we do have some background and links to information about the current situation at Uber. But go ahead, Dan.
Well, I was going to start because we're going to spend the next 55 minutes or so trashing Uber, which is going to be fun. But I want to start with saying something positive about them, so we're not entirely negative. And there are two things. And one is I was talking to Adam Leshinsky last night. He's an author of a book just came out called Wild Ride, Inside Uber's Quest for World Domination. And I said, Adam, tell me something positive about Uber. Tell me, what's the main thing? And he says, well, they managed to build a really big company out of nothing, right? It's now valued at a ridiculous $70 billion. And, they started as an app, just a few guys in an office in San Francisco. So you got to give them props for that. And the second thing is, it's a really good idea, actually. The ability to call a ride to wherever you are as opposed to having to go where the rides are. and to be able to handle the entire transaction on your phone is actually a really smart idea. So there, I've said two nice things about Uber, and now I'm done.
Okay.
Now that we have that, let the thrashing begin.
All
now
right.
Let the thrashing begin.
So, you know, the year didn't begin well for them. You had the, you know, Uber's CEO, Travis Kalanick, was named part of the President Trump's kind of council of business advisors. And when the Trump travel ban went into effect, he was part of the collateral damage of that. They lost over 200,000 users, deleted the app, which, you know, in the scheme of things may not be that large, but it's definitely perceived as a blow sufficient enough for Kalanick to bolt from the White House council. I did a presentation on this and 2 weeks ago, and I used a GIF from Forrest Gump when, you know, he just runs. He runs across the football field and doesn't stop. And I said that was Travis leaving the White House. But so what do you make of how the year started? And or maybe a better question would be, you know, at the end of the year, we always talk about heroes and zeros. And clearly we have a zero. But this whole thing, the kind of unraveling of Uber, began, I guess, by someone we could call a hero. And that is Susan Fowler, you know, someone who had been with Uber and who decided after leaving to detail her very strange year at Uber, which included being approached by her manager for sex on the very first day on the job. So and maybe that's the way to approach it.
You mean that's the way to approach employees, Bennett?
I was saying, you know, you have, if you want to talk about heroes
I think
and zeros,
it's the way to at least a week, personally.
We can approach it that way, but it started off bad with them in January with the fallout from Trump and the travel ban, and then boom, they had the sexual harassment. Probably wasn't the best phrase. They had the sexual harassment allegations brought by Susan Fowler, which then just brought about more people coming out. And you know, to Uber's credit, they immediately brought in former Attorney General Eric Holder to do an investigation. But a lot of the employees there was over 100 women who told the CEO, "We don't need Holder. You know, this is a systemic problem. You don't need an outside lawyer who's charging you $1,000 an hour to tell you that. We're here to tell you." But you know, apparently, he didn't listen. And in March, you know, board member Arianna Huffington was saying it was not a systemic problem. Well, guess what? You know, today's report of 20 employees being fired after, what are the numbers here? Out of 215 claims that they looked at, 54 were related to discrimination, 47 to sexual harassment, 45 to unprofessional behavior, 33 to bullying, and 36 to other type of claims. And they took action on 58 cases. But there are no action on 100, but the investigation is still ongoing.
So my question is, did they fire the right person? And I don't think they did.
Because the CEO is still in places.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, you know, and Brenda can probably speak to this as well. This is, you know, companies reflect their CEO. You know, they take the lead from the CEO. And they often will, you know, have the personality of the CEO. And we saw this with Microsoft and Steve Ballmer. Very aggressive.
That's true.
You know, and marketing, we saw it with Oracle and Larry Ellison. And we're seeing it now with Uber and Travis Kalanick. So I don't care how many employees they fire for various reasons. Until they get rid of Travis, they're going to still be the Uber we've been talking about.
And it's not just that. Go ahead, Brenda.
Yeah. And on the PR, from the PR lens of this, you know, they're putting Arianna on the board to mitigate, you know, a lot of the culture issues. Really hasn't been effective, has it?
Well, she did say that she would make sure that the results of the investigation were made public. And I guess, you know, this report may be, you know, fulfilling her claim. But and not initially, no. I mean, in her, you know, she was just seen as an apologist for Travis and someone who clearly has a lot to gain from, you know, Travis weathering the storm as a board member.
Yeah, the mindful board member, right?
Well, I'm curious, Brenda, you know, because this is, as Bennett mentioned earlier, in 2014, they had a whole rash of really bad stories. And then they, you know, hired a communications firm to sort of handle it. And now they're back in crisis communications mode. And I'm curious what Brenda thinks, being a communications professional, how she thinks they're doing in terms of handling their crisis communications.
There's two types of consultants in crisis communications. There's those that are convincing and those that aren't and just want to get paid. And I mean, my guess is that they are the latter. You know, I worked with crisis before at the Fortune 100 level, you know, Domino's Pizza with the delivery crisis. And, you know, we communicated to them, you know, the plan that they should execute far before there was a crisis. And they heeded our counsel. And, you know, I think it just goes part and parcel with the culture there at Uber is that Travis is right and what he says is gospel. So we all see, you know, how that's ended up.
And related to that, you know, one thing that's happening there is there's this flight of top executives. And I believe one of them was the communications director. You know, they either can't get their job done or they can't work in that environment.
It must be really tough. I mean, you know, we've heard a lot of really bad, you know, Amazon got a total hit, you know, and Bezos sent out a letter around the corporate culture there. And I think it's, you know, it's endemic with tech. And I don't know, you know, the whole bro culture and, you know, you succinctly put it, you know, with the Uber logo on the Titanic and the bro culture. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in cycle of culture wars, you know, coming up in here 5 years. You know, will the bro culture survive, right?
So there's a New York Times, almost like a mass obituary of people who have left Uber.
Okay.
And there is Rachel Whetstone.
Right.
That sounds so proper. And she was at Google for a decade in charge of communication. And then she joined Uber in May 2015, lasted 2 years, but she departed after tension with Travis. So, I mean, he is getting in the way of this company weathering the storm. And it's not just that. You know, there's the old metaphor of when in a hole, don't dig. And, you know, he had some of his own behavior exacerbate what was going on. You know, the whole flare-up with his own driver that was caught on a dash cam. And and then, you know, they tried to get his girlfriend not to, to kind of lie about certain things that had happened in the past on a trip to Seoul, where I guess they went to a karaoke brothel. Interesting combination. And... But, you know, that act actually, you know, here's to someone who heretofore had never said anything about, you know, Travis and Uber, but now is offended that they're trying to make her lie, that she says, you know, she tells a story. And these are kind of personal failings of Travis actually now coming back to harm the company.
Well, all of this, I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday, and Uber really is like the Trump administration. I mean, their parallels are amazing. So the normal rules don't apply. Winning is the only thing that matters. They stiff their employees on a regular basis.
True.
It's a total bros gone wild culture. They're at war with the press. And they have diehard fans who don't care.
Do they?
I think so.
Just have people who stuck with them because they were kind of first in the space.
Well, it's the same thing, really. I mean, I'm always, you know, when I'm at events and people say, let's call an Uber, and I'm always saying, no, let's call a Lyft, because I don't use Uber. And I don't, primarily because of all this news, and also because, you know, when I go and I'll take a ride from a ride-sharing service, a lot of these guys drive for both, or women drive for both companies, and I'll ask them, okay, how do these guys treat you? And almost to a person, they say Uber treats them like dirt.
Well. You say it like that.
Like, right. Well, you know, if you want to treat it like dirt, I understand there's certain brothels in Seoul where they sing and treat you like dirt. But still, And I say, well, they ask me, why don't you use Uber? And I explain, and they say, really? They had no idea about any of this.
Wow.
Can't tell you how many people I've given, you know, the recitation to. And it's like, okay, well, did you know they did this, and they did this, and they did this? They go, really? No. So a lot of people just aren't paying attention. They're just tapping on their phones.
Do you think Travis can weather the storm?
I think as long as the VCs and his board support him, then yes.
Okay.
It's all about the money.
So let's jump to that a little bit. You know, Mitch Kapper, who's founder of Lotus and the Electronic Frontier Foundation, so a major, legend, you would say, in Silicon mm-hmm. Valley, and who is also an Uber investor, he felt frustrated enough to do an open letter blasting the company and its management. He said, we're speaking up now because we are disappointed and frustrated. We feel we have hit a dead end in trying to influence the company quietly from the inside. Uber's outside success in terms of growth and market share, revenues, valuation are impressive, but can never excuse a culture plagued by disrespect, exclusionary cliques, lack of diversity, and tolerance for bullying and harassment of every form. And that has to, when someone like Mitch says that, that has to, you know, dent his armor somewhat, I would think. No?
Yeah. Well, it's all about the valuation. It's all about
right. People
are hanging out for the IPO. And I got to say, just in general, valuations are insane. You know, the stock market itself is insane. I could go off on that for a bit. It's a large Ponzi scheme. But the notion that Uber is worth $70 billion just strikes me as absurd. But until the VCs get their money back, until they're able to launch into the world, I think we're stuck with Uber as it is.
And on that point then, so is there collateral damage from Uber? So at the time, Uber... the last round of kind of scandals in 2014 and 2015, there was part of it was privacy related, but there's always been throughout this kind of a bro culture issue and a feeling that, you know, that women aren't treated well. But at the time, you also had the Ellen Powell trial come right after, and there was a question about whether, you know, is this an Uber issue or is this Silicon Valley as a whole? And you know, and so at one point, there was actually an Uber employee, you know, who was talking to a recruiter and trying to get someone to come into Uber. And the recruiter said that, you know, you guys have an awful reputation. And he just said, well, that's just the way Silicon Valley is as a whole. Get used to it. And so the question then is, will Uber make other people step forward at other companies? Or is Uber just so unique? There's only one, you know, frat house in Silicon Valley, which I kind of suspect isn't the case.
Definitely not. Okay, I can't remember. Ellen Powell? Is that how you pronounce her name?
Yes.
She was it Kleiner Perkins? I can't remember.
Exactly, Kleiner Perkins, yes.
Disparage. Okay. And she lost her sexual harassment suit.
She did. But in some ways, it became so well-known. She definitely.
Well, it did illuminate the practices that
exactly
happen on a regular basis.
Time Magazine or Newsweek had a cover how Silicon Valley views women. You know, it really did move the chain, so to speak. It put Silicon Valley under scrutiny. And so, is this going to happen again, or is this an Uber story?
It's definitely not just an Uber story. I mean, will America elect a pussy grabbing president?
Never.
Yeah, apparently it will. So will Silicon Valley continue to treat, you know, women like dirt and treat their employees pretty much like dirt, except for the stars? Yes, they will, until the market punishes them for it. And who's out there to do that?
True.
Well, what's interesting to me, and I'm just opposing this to the, you know, the go-go 90s before the bubble burst, and there used to be a little bit more of a moral compass. A lot of times, you know, the de facto procedure was, you know, the startup made millions of dollars, and then the adults came in, and, you know, the founder, the CEO would take a back seat, right? But that doesn't seem to be the case so much anymore.
Yeah, it's curious. I have a short list in my head of the founders who managed to survive. And it's like, well, Michael Dell,
right.
Mark Zuckerberg,
yep.
You know, Bill Gates,
right.
And then you start to run out. But it's usually the nerd, because the companies are usually started by the nerd, right? They're started by the brainiac with the brilliant idea who implements it, and then the marketers take over. And then at some point, you need adult supervision, somebody who knows how to run a company. In this case, I'm not sure that Kalanick was the nerd. I think he was, you know, sort of
the marketing
guy from the start, right? He was the business strategy guy.
But
you know, and his strategy is do whatever he feels like, and the rules be damned.
So speaking of adult supervision, this is the point where I step in and say we have to take a short break. But we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Cyber Law and Business Report only on Cranberry.fm.
Stay tuned for more of the Cyber Law and Business Report after this brief recess for our sponsors.
How much are your best ideas worth? PriorThings.com gives you an added layer of protection for all of your intellectual property, ideas, and creative things. New business idea, pitch deck, PowerPoint presentation, song lyrics, source code, killer blog posts. We help you protect it all. How do we do it? We use the same technology platform that secures transactions for Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Learn more at PriorThings.com. Check out exclusive listener pricing for Cranberry Radio listeners by going to bit.ly/FounderCircle.
Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. Visit fjorgedigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's fjorgedigital.com.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Content for your ears. And everything in between. Cranberry.fm.
The best gavel-to-gavel legal news and information on the net is right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report. Here is Bennett Kelly.
And we're back. So we were talking with Dan Tynan and Brendan Christensen about the Uber crisis. And we've talked so far mainly about the sexual harassment scandals and the general leadership and bro culture under the CEO, Travis. And but there's actually two other elements to the scandal that we should highlight, because it's actually in some ways could be more significant because it involves criminal wrongdoing, potentially. One is the trade secret theft relating to allegations made by Google, and now it's spun off an entity called Waymo, which kind of reminds me of Whammo. And and they've alleged that basically Anthony Lewandowski, who at one point led Google's self-driving efforts, has taken, you know, as many as 14,000 documents with him to Uber to help jumpstart Uber's own self-driving program. And when he took the fifth in the lawsuit brought by Google, it led to the federal judges actually referred the case to U.S. attorney for potential criminal action. And then you also have this issue of the Grayball tool or program. Dan, can you explain what Grayball is?
Yeah, sure. So with Grayballing, what Uber's been doing is they've been launching in cities without getting regulatory approval first, because, you know, they're Uber and they can do what they want. So and so people, you know, local regulators have been attempting to catch them in the act by hailing Ubers. So what Uber did was they identified who the regulators were, and they figured out how to keep them from actually getting an Uber. So they how to geofence them and basically prevent them from doing their jobs by preventing them from being able to hail an Uber to prove the Uber was operating legally.
And that has also now been triggered in a criminal investigation by the Justice Department. So,
that's good time to be a lawyer for Uber.
Exactly.
you should get this gig, Matt. You should totally get this gig.
They have, they had Perkins and the Attorney General do the investigation into the former Attorney General, I should say, Eric Holder, do the investigation into the employment issue. And now you have two criminal investigations, and they almost got dropped by Apple on their iPhone because of they were fingerprinting the iPhone so that they could still monitor Apple users even after they tried to wipe their phone clean.
And so
those are huge potential liabilities, criminal investigations. Even if nothing happens, the cost of it alone.
Who knows how those are going to play out. And maybe those will be the things that bring the management down. That might be the settlement that they end up getting. Or Uber could simply, again, going back to Trump, just keep them tied up in court forever. I mean, as much as they can anyway, with an extended as long as possible, extended through the IPO. I really think that all of this, they're just driving towards their IPO where everyone's going to cash out. So
when
Travis cashes out, becomes a billionaire, who cares what happens to him?
Can that happen while this is pending?
I don't know. Let me think about this. Has this happened in the past? Have companies been able to file publicly while under being sued? Probably. Well, I can't imagine that would prevent it.
There's a difference between being sued. I mean, companies are sued all the time.
Right.
But this is this is not criminal prosecution.
Right?
They're under not only just under investigation; they're under siege. It seems like.
Well, dude, you're the lawyer. Can they do that?
No, I mean, I'm sure they can. I'm just thinking, anything can be done. But the question is, in that environment, how likely is it to succeed? And will that somehow be a drag on its ultimate value? Or are they better riding the ship, getting rid of Travis so that they have a seasoned CEO so investors feel comfortable bringing this to market? Knowing that since Travis is no longer at the helm, whatever criminal consequences may exist, you'll get somewhat of a pass because you've at least taken action and removed what was likely the greatest cause.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder what else they're doing we haven't figured out yet. I mean, a lot of this stuff came up. In 2014, there were a number of stories in addition to the others you mentioned. One was one of the top Uber executives who's, I think, still there, Emil Michael, joking, quote unquote, about hiring private investigators to dig up dirt on Sarah Lacey, who is the editor of Pando Daily and who has written a number of very critical stories about Uber, who's published them.
Right.
And that became a story in itself. And literally 3 days later, there was another story about one of the Uber executives using, quote, God view, unquote, and tracking a BuzzFeed journalist who was on her way to a meeting with him so he could isolate an individual user by name and follow them wherever they go. That is pretty serious stuff.
Well, they also track Rides of Glory. Do you remember that?
Yes, right. Oh, that was an advertising campaign, right?
No. They were actually tracking what they perceived as one-night stands. So
right.
if,
the walk
if
of someone, shame, rise of glory. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got dropped off late at night and then picked up early in the morning, it was presumed that that's why you were there, and they were tracking where these occurred.
Yeah. Yeah. So horrible privacy violations targeting individuals, not even aggregates, but individuals. And that was 3 years ago. And so who knows what they're still doing and you know,
right.
what
and
kind of violations.
The, yeah. And the enroll me thing. I mean, that was heinous. The enroll me thing that the New York Times outed them for, and Klein and My Managed Methods handles a lot of, you know, prevents that. And, but, you know, it's, you know, keeping with our Titanic theme, I'm sure it's just the tip of the iceberg, you know, God only knows what else they're doing.
So Brenda, you as the, you know, the consummate PR professional, you get a call from Travis. One, do you take it?
Yeah, I'd put him over my knee and spank him, but he'd probably like it.
He would. He'd yeah. want you to videotape yeah. it.
Right. Yeah. So, it'll be interesting if it happens. I mean, you know, are the adults going to step in? And, you know, a lot of this, and forgive me for my conspiracy theorist attitude, but, you know, I come from a family from the deep state, NSA and other, and I'm wondering how much Uber is in cahoots with the government, you know, like Bezos is with the CIA, and maybe that's affording them some protections.
Well, he has two criminal investigations, one and a half criminal investigations pending, so remains to be seen how much protection he has. But in addition, they keep saying as Uber as a U.S. company, which it is, but Uber is also trying to penetrate foreign markets, and to the extent that they might be, to the extent they might be getting away with that here, can they get away with that there?
Yeah, that's a good question. Certainly not in Germany. I'm curious. I am looking at they published a transparency report. And they published it last year as well, which indicates it's mostly about requirements by legal authorities, how many times they've been asked by the legal authorities to present information on either riders or drivers. And they don't, this is just domestic. They don't present the international because they don't have that data available mm-hmm. yet. But a couple of things that are fascinating. One is how many Uber drivers there are. There were more than 300,000 drivers in California that had to, you know, report on their locations as a result of meeting regulations. And there are a couple of thousand legal requests on rider accounts and driver accounts. Just the police saying, so, you know, did you pick this person up here and did you drop them off there? And
that right. kind of thing.
And, you know, it's, you know, kudos to Uber for actually reporting it, because they aren't legally required to report this. But it shows you that law enforcement is well aware of, you know, these services and how they may be used to aid and abet in a crime, or at least, you know, transport potential criminals around. And how much of it is available. I mean, how private it isn't.
So let's look at it from another perspective. They've just bled a number of people. Can Uber recruit quality people under these conditions?
You mean people who work in the back office or people who drive? Because
I'm in the back office. I'm thinking the back office.
Yeah. You know, if they pay enough salary, people will do it, honestly.
I mean, really?
If the position is good, people need jobs.
That's
you know,
true.
It's like, I think more power to it if you stand on principle and say, no, I'm not going to work for this company because I don't think it's ethical. And I think there will be people like that. And they may have problems probably at the higher level of recruiting executives who are, you know, visible, as you said in that New York Times story, like the 20 little gravestones for executives that have left over the last couple of years. I mean, when you're in the public eye, it's a whole different thing.
Right.
So I think maybe at a certain level, although they just hired someone from Apple. Was it like 2 days ago? They hired a brand marketing manager from Apple. It was a big deal. Let me think about this. Yeah.
I'm wondering, too, you know, a lot of times on the hiring side and in the culture and public relations, I've seen tech companies migrate over, you know, I mean, the classic case is, you know, Apple hiring, you know, the Pepsi guy. You know, I wonder if yeah. they'll go into more of, you know, state line corporate America, you know, maybe pull a Goldman Sachs guy or a woman from, you know, even, you know, Johnson & Johnson retail brand.
Right.
So the person they hired, and which was announced yesterday, was a woman named Bozama St. John, a very stylish-looking black woman who was in charge of Apple Music marketing. So they managed to get their diversity news out in the public really quickly.
And did she give interviews or no?
Yeah, yeah.
What did she say?
Let's see. Wow.
Yeah, I think I suspect we'll see a lot more of those kind of PR-flavored, you know, hiring plays and trying to boost the image, you know. But I think the biggest challenge for them, like we've been talking about, is going over into foreign markets and, you know, and getting back to, you know, how much they collaborate with the U.S. government. If they have a favorable position there, the U.S. government certainly will make that easy for them on that level, because they certainly have access to a lot of data that the U.S. government would and likes to have
right.
on, on citizen movement especially. And I'm done with my conspiracy theory now.
Okay.
Keep going. I like your conspiracy theory.
I know it's true. Yeah, it's true with Bezos, and it's true with Facebook, of course. And so, you know, I'm guessing that they collaborate and corroborate. So, you know, their entry into the foreign markets will be assisted by the U.S. government for sure.
Interesting. So, and we're broadcasting live from the soundstage where Apollo landed on the moon, but
hey, that's right up the
I always knew you were behind
actually.
That.
But
yeah.
Any event. So, where do you think Uber will be a year from now?
Putting out more fires. What's interesting to me about Uber, and interesting and a little frightening, is the fact that how aggressive they are about self-driving cars.
Right.
So, I mean, you mean the fact that there
is that a technology innovation, or is that a labor cost issue?
Oh, it's totally a labor cost issue. That's yeah. all it is. I mean, they are, you know, you can argue about whether they're innovating if they've, you know, allegedly taken their ideas from Google. So I wouldn't necessarily say that Uber's innovating there, but what they are is they're being very aggressive about deploying. And that's kind of a number of impacts, one of which is, of course, all these people who are driving for 30 or 35 bucks an hour are not going to be driving for them
right.
in a few years, right? It's going to be robocars. And then, you know, there's going to be issues about robocars. I mean, the thing that could probably bring Uber down more than anything is if some of the robocars start crashing and killing people.
Well, I mean, Uber has had an accident. And in fact, Uber's self-driving yeah. technology, recently. It hasn't been self-driving. On average, yeah. they need a human to take over less than a mile, is 0.8 miles. That's how far they can go on average without human intervening. Where in contrast, Waymo can go as much as 5,000 miles.
Yeah, so you worry about this. This is kind of like a bad combination of factors. We have this driving technology that isn't fully baked yet. We have a company that is extremely aggressive about deploying things without even regard to regulations. I mean, they were forced to pull their cars out of San Francisco last December because they didn't bother to spend $150 to get a permit. $150.
And there's another force to bear on this. I mean, let's talk about drone deliveries, right?
Right.
People aren't driving to the grocery store. You know, people aren't, right? They're getting more and more stuff delivered at home or wherever they are via drones. So that's also going to impact them. And, so we'll have to see. I mean, their whole business model is going to have to shift.
It makes a lot of sense to have cars as a shared resource. But, you know, I'd feel more comfortable if it was a Google that is very careful and smart about doing it, and far less comfortable if it's an Uber. that's doing it.
But there is an assumption that consumers will be okay with a driverless car.
Mm-hmm. That's true, and people may not be. But the fact is, if you have bought a car recently, you have a lot of that technology built into it. I mean, it's a creep. It's a gradual creep of the technology. It starts with things like adaptive cruise control, mm-hmm. and lane departure assist, and automatic parking, and all of these things were developed. They came out of Carnegie Mellon, and the guys who ran the Carnegie Mellon program were hired by Google.
And then,
so that's where it's all coming from.
And then their work, apparently, or as Google alleges, was taken to Uber.
Right, right. So
Detroit homegirls.
It's already out there.
Detroit homegirls. I was going to bring in the automotive angle here, and you know, Ford is actually starting a campaign, speaking of PR, to get the consumer used to the idea of not owning a vehicle and alternative methods of mobility, you know, including they've created some kind of like weird, it's not like a Segway, but it's some kind of like scooter board thing that's automated, you know, and you step on it and it's ideal for urban communities, right? So,
of course.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of market forces on the market right now here.
Interesting. But one market force we must abide by is our commercial break. But we'll be right back. We'll talk more about Uber and Detroit and beyond. You're listening to Cyber Law and Business Report only on Cranberry.fm.
Stay tuned for more of the Cyber Law and Business Report after this brief recess for our sponsors.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix, ZoSocial, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. ZoSocial is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let ZoSocial give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to ZoSocial.com.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Content for your ears and everything in between. Cranberry.fm.
The best gavel-to-gavel legal news and information on the net is right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report. Here is Bennett Kelly.
And we're back, and we're talking with Dan Tynan and Brenda Christensen about the ever burgeoning Uber scandal. And before we go back to that, Dan, as a Bay Area resident, I want to give you a chance to crow a little bit about your Warriors. Are they going to sweep tonight?
Don't say that. You're just going to jinx them. I am so paranoid after last year that I am assuming nothing. So I actually do think that Cleveland will win at least one game at home. I mean, just for pride, point of pride. You know, and for all we know, they could tie up the series. I mean, people make presumptions about the finals too quickly, I think. Because
that's true.
You know, and having witnessed a lot of Lakers-Boston, you know, finals in the 80s, you know, one team dominates the game, the next game, the next team dominates.
Right.
So I am withholding judgment.
It is curious that so far, with this remarkable matchup of, you know, legends on both sides, that the Stanley Cup Finals with the unknown Nashville Predators and their crazy catfish throwing fans has been a lot more exciting.
We need more catfish. That's what we need, I think.
I was in Vegas. I was asking people there what would they throw onto ice, and they said poker chips.
Makes sense.
So going to Uber, we were talking about Detroit. Why does Detroit not want people to buy cars? Is this reverse psychology?
I'm going to let Brenda answer this because she's the native.
Yeah, Detroit homie. You know, it's one of these cultural shifts where more people are moving to urban centers and away from rural areas. This has been a societal change over the last generation. So, you know, automotive companies are really, really, really good at predicting social outcomes and being ahead of those. So that would be my best guess, is that they're looking at the probability of even, you know, driverless cars are not going to really be effective even in urban environments, you know, in the next 10 years, decade. They, you know, they have to start the production lines way ahead of time. You know, they think out 10, 15 years, right? So that's my guess.
But this is the same Detroit that thought out 10, 15 years and thought huge, you know, boat size sedans were the answer when they had the energy crisis coming.
Right.
Well,
yeah. Well,
they learned their lesson.
Yeah, that was a political strategy, actually. So, you know, you can't anticipate everything. But one of the things, and this is changing the subject, I wanted to get this in before the end of the show, is, you know, the human element of being a CEO of a company or a C-level. You know, we all know what Sheryl went through with Facebook, you know, and how it impacted, you know, the culture there at Facebook with the death of her husband. And, you know, I was thinking last week, you know, how Travis lost his mother. Apparently he was very attached to her. And I was wondering if that would have any impact, you know, on his behavior, or even if he would step down, or that would influence him, you know, to continue and dig in harder.
It is, obviously, those type of events are, you know, significant moments, and they do cause people to reassess and, you know, change and evaluate. You know, there's a book out that just came out yesterday about Bobby Kennedy, and it goes from the date of his brother's death to 2 years before his own death, when he was speaking in South Africa on June 6, 1966. And it's just his evolution from being this kind of ruthless, he was known as a ruthless, you know, campaign operative, to somewhat of a fighter, an outsider. And so these things happen.
Yeah.
In terms of odds,
yeah.
I would, if I had $1,000 to put down on that, or versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, I put it on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Don't jinx me. Yeah. Don't jinx me, Bennett.
No, that wasn't a plug for the Cavaliers. It passed his prologue, and I'm not sure he's that person yet. But we have,
right.
Who knows? Everyone can transform.
Yeah, and companies can transform. Now, again, I'm going to go back to the Microsoft example. I mean, Microsoft really was Steve Ballmer, you know, magnified by 10 million, right? His personality is bombast, his arrogance, the whole nine yards. And then he left. And then Nadella came in. And suddenly Microsoft's a different company. I mean, they're still enormous.
Right.
They still have a lot of problems. But now they're suddenly seen as not so much the bad guys anymore. They're a lot more innovative. They have interesting products. They're in the game again. And so I think that can totally happen to a company like Uber. They can do kind of a turnaround with the right leadership.
So we only have a few minutes left. And so do you guys have anything you guys want to get out there about in terms of what's coming up for you?
Oh, well, a couple things for me. One is I think people need to be, when they, you know, decide what apps they use, what services they use, what products they buy, et cetera, I think people need to be more mindful. They need to be more conscious of the companies they're dealing with and not just go with the most convenient thing. And, you know, vote with your feet, vote with your fingers, right? And say, well, you know, I don't support this company's policies, so I'm not going to use them. I'm going to go with a competitor. And when you have that choice, you should make that choice.
And in this case, that might be a company that rhymes with MIFT.
Or grift. Something like that, yes.
Brenda?
Sure, you know, I'm always thinking the security angle. So, you know, not only vote with your fingers and your footsteps, but also, you know, protect yourself when you're out there. So, you know, you're not susceptible to companies like Uber who are selling your data, right? You know, to companies like Enrollme, that type of thing, or vice versa. So, you know, you can never be too secure.
That's true. I do have one plug, and Dan, I don't know if you'll be going to this, but next Monday, June 12th, which is George H.W. Bush's birthday, is the 14th annual Stanford Best Practices Conference in Palo Alto, and I will be moderating a panel on targeted advertising. And if those of you who are going to be at Stanford next Monday, I look forward to seeing you. And next week, we'll also have Michelle Ferrier, who is the founder of Trollbusters. So anything else before we leave?
Well,
I haven't heard from Michelle.
I'm sorry? I didn't hear what you said, Brenda.
Oh, I said I'm kind of disappointed we didn't have too many jokes this time.
Oh, we had a few here and there. But we will have you back, of course, for those of you who have listened to the show before, know that Brenda and Dan are the star feature of our annual Heroes and Zeros show, where we highlight the best and worst of the internet at the end of the year. And clearly we know we have some zeros in this topic, but so I look forward to having you guys back then. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Again, check out our show notes at cyberlawradio.wordpress.com. And we'll be back here next week, again, talking about Trollbusters. Interesting concept. And again, thanks to our good friends, Dan and Brenda. It's been great having you again. Have a great week. Go Warriors. And go Catfish.
All right.
Take care. And check out the Internet Law Center at internetlawcenter.net. Bye-bye.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cranberry News Marketing and Cranberry.fm. Rebroadcasts or retransmission of this content without proper consent is prohibited.